Praise be Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, all the brothers and the inquirers. This is the third month, the 27th day in 2022, and it's the fourth Lord's Day in Lent. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Anyway, greetings to all the brothers and inquirers. Declan, Dermot, Hector, TJ. Laura's online, so she's not here with us, but Bruce is up here with Ryan, Mario and Anna, Andre and Catherine, Gustavo and Nikolai. Latari Lord's Day means it's the halfway mark in Lent. The halfway mark was actually, I think, the fourth weekday.
Yeah.
But we celebrate it now. Right. So we're halfway through. You got the fifth Lord's Day in Lent, the sixth, which is Palm Day, and then you have Holy Week. Now, this week, we don't do the liquid fast. You guys don't have to do it, but if you want, you could. We do it the following week, right before Palm Day. And the reason we don't do it during Holy Week, we don't want to be so weak. There's a lot of stuff we do during Holy Week, so you don't want to be weak during Holy Week. Did you get that one, you guys? That's the joke. And you said, boy, I got a week back. How long don't you get it? About a week back. Anyway, so now what we do here on Palm Day, you guys can do whatever you want with movies and stuff. We usually watch The Passion on Palm Day because the following Lord's Day is the Resurrection. So you can watch, you know, whatever you want, something else. But usually that's what we do here. Every Palm Day we watch The Passion. Coming up for Passion Week. And you'll follow our Holy Week schedule. It's a beautiful schedule. Now, if you guys want to do Tenebrae with us and all that, we light the candles and all that, it's a really beautiful thing on Holy Week. But generally, we start that. It's going to be really late for these guys.
I know.
They'll be staying up through the night and sleeping during the day or something. But it'll be like, when do we usually start that at our time, 6 or 7.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
6 or 7, our time. So that would be what their time? 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, maybe like around 1 o'clock. Well, it's not too bad. You know, it takes about an hour.
Well, 7 or 10? If it's 7 or so there's 7 hours.
If it's 7, then it will be 2 o'clock.
Or no,
there's 7-hour difference, right?
Right.
Hector, I think, is 8.
Hector's 8, yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Gustavo is 4.
Okay.
But the Tenebrae, the prayers that we pray on Maundy Day, good 6th weekday, and Holy 7th weekday takes about an hour, but they're beautiful. Really, really beautiful. It's
7 hours. And
so you make a little sacrifice for that. But
it'll be like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
It'll be 2 in the morning.
Now that we did it, it'll be 2 in the morning. Now.
Yeah. They can take a little nap and wake up 2 in the morning. But it's only about an hour.
It's like 4 hours for Mario.
It's only 4 hours for Mario. It's not too bad for Mario, yeah. But we also call the Tenebrae prayers. I'm just preparing you guys for what's up on Holy Week. Also, we do the procession. We're going to be doing it this year. We're going to process out here. So the Stations of the Cross, we do that a little bit later on Good Sixth Weekday, don't we?
Right.
Like 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Our time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
I think I could take your video camera. We could video it.
Yeah, yeah.
You never had a video.
Yeah, you could video it. And you can take pictures off the video. But usually what we do on the procession, we begin it at 12 o'clock at my house, in town, and it takes about, what, an hour and a half?
Yeah.
Or 2 hours? 2 hours.
Yeah.
2 hours to walk out here. And then between 12 and 3 on Good Sixth Weekday, you have to remain silent. No unnecessary talking. You can talk, but no unnecessary talking between 12 and 3, which is different hours wherever they are.
Right.
So they'll observe that. But according to their time, according to us then, that's why we wait till 3 o'clock to do the Stations of the Cross.
Right.
So, at 3 o'clock our time, that would be 10 o'clock their time on Good Sixth Weekday. So, they would be doing the Stations then, and then later on, our time, 6, 7 o'clock, we're going to be doing the Tenebrae for that day.
Right.
We have it all in a rule from Ears of the Remnant. If you can't make it, it's okay, but if you could, fine. Now, I just went over this before, and there's more people online now about the liquid fast. I'll go over it again on how you do that. The best way, if you want to do that, you don't have to do it. Only the members of Mary's Little Remnant have to do that. Now, and even they don't, if they've got a medical condition, they can't do the liquid fast. some of them here do have medical conditions. Now let's see. I was going to say, okay. So what we do with the 3-day fast, as I said before, it begins on the fourth weekday of Holy Week. No, of not Holy Week. The week before.
Fifth.
The fourth.
The fifth.
Begins on the fourth.
I know, but the fifth Lord's Day.
Huh?
It's
week.
Yeah, I said that before Palm Day. It's the fourth or the fifth or the sixth. Anyway, it's 72 hours straight. And the best way to do it, like for instance, is when you have your last meal on the fourth weekday, if it's 12 or 1 o'clock or whatever it is, that means you cannot have your next meal until, let's say it's 1 o'clock p.m., you can't have your next meal until 1 p.m. on the seventh weekday. That's 72 hours straight. After that, you can have your meal. That will end the 3-day fast. Now, if you guys are done at 4 o'clock or 5 p.m., then you would be eating 5 p.m. on the seventh weekday. That would be your when you can start eating your meal. That's 72 straight hours, and it works good that way. So you just got to mark when you ate your last meal on the fourth weekday, and you can't have your next meal until that time on the seventh weekday. Now, on this year, the seventh weekday is a light fast. So after that, you have that one meal, that day you can have two meals, and for us we can have an alcohol and dessert because it's the feast day of a third-class feast day of one of the saints mentioned in the Bible, which we say we know those are saints that are true saints, infallible, you know, because the Holy Scriptures teach us that. Who was that again on that day?
Saint Mary Cleopas.
Three holy women. Now, Daniel, here's something I want to recommend you brothers to listen to. And I don't know if the brothers here listen to it, but this is one of my favorite. I got a lot of good stuff up there, but Daniel's 70-week prophecy, the person of the prophecy. Just a person. It's part one. It's 2 hours. I got the person of the prophecy, the history of the prophecy, and the chronology of the prophecy. It's in three parts. You don't got to listen to those other two. It's kind of deep and complicated. You may want to. But the main one is that number one, part one, the person of the prophecy, it's a powerhouse for converting Jews. I mean, for the scriptures on about how the Messiah had to suffer, he had to be slain for our sins. I mean, that's the one I'm going to send.
It's on the hard drive, too, right?
Yeah, it's on the hard drive. It's the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel, and it's part one, which is the person of the prophecy. I think that's the name. You can check how I named it. It might have been just the 70 weeks prophecy. That's probably just the way I titled
part one.
It.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
70 weeks prophecy, part one, part
right,
two,
right,
and part
right,
two,
right.
And they're separate. And the other one gets deep into chronology, which is interesting, though. It is. But it's a side note. My most important thing on that whole lecture was to prove that Jesus Christ is the person of the prophecy and that the Messiah needs to be slain to get rid of our sins and iniquities. And then I combine a lot of other verses in there. I'm going to send it to that Jew in Texas, the Jew who believes in Jesus. I'm going to send that to him, along with some other stuff. But it's interesting. I don't always account all my dreams, but 99% of my dream is from the devil. It's garbage. It's either from your own imagination or from the devil. But yes, sometimes it's not. Sometimes I'm really preaching to people, and there's a difference. You're actually preaching to people. But yesterday, it was like I had this one Jew guy was talking to me, and he said, "Us Jews are listening to you. We're listening to what you're saying."
Yeah. Wow.
That's what the Jew said. He said, "We're listening to." And he looked like Bernie Sanders. I don't know. I hate to say it, but it was Bernie Sanders. And he said, "Us Jews are listening to you."
Was it in Technicolor?
Was it in color that one? Some are, some aren't.
Yeah.
What's that movie? Do you dream in color?
Some
people dream
so
in color.
Real.
Some dreams are in color. Some aren't.
Well, like when I was on that phone with Rabbi Beck, he knew who we were.
The guy in Williamsburg.
He's in London. Yeah, I think that's where he.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
think he was in Louis, but I think that's where he was. But I remember talking to him. Oh, yeah, I know who you guys are.
I was just thinking of that this morning. It's wonderful. God is doing things we can't even imagine. You know what I mean? In the hearts of men, how he's preparing them. And like I said, you don't realize how many people are listening to you, but they're not admitting it. They don't want to come forward. They're not going to, because they don't believe in everything yet. But they're listening. So they're not making commitments. But my point in holding today was I said how God's going to be my public relations man. He's the one that works in the hearts of people. Mm-hmm. And if their heart's not ready, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we believe people may have some goodwill. We send them a package. We try. That's the end of it. But we're not about debating people. I don't debate.
Right.
I don't debate people. I give them the truth. I know what they believe in. So I'm not saying I don't address their heresies. Or if they got a problem, I will give them something to refute them. But I don't debate them. And the biggest thing with that is, and we said it many times before, because I know sometimes you have a compulsion to debate people, but it's okay to contact people and on where they're wrong and give them some stuff, but you don't want to go back and forth in some type of official debate. And to give you an example, like Robert Sagenis, and if he writes back and he wants to do some type of debate, all I ask him is, what do you think about the desecrations? Is that idolatry? And he says no. Or he says, I think the Muslims. What was his big thing with the Muslims?
With Jews. Remember, the Jews weren't under a curse.
Yeah, yeah. So if he says, no, I'm not going to debate you. I'm not going to waste my time talking to you.
Yeah.
If you believe it's okay to have idols in a church, man, I'm wasting my time.
Yeah.
You just talk. And when you debate people, it's sort of like you're coming down to their level. Mm-hmm. Just remember one thing. They don't need us.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't. We don't need them. They need us. They don't. We don't need them. I'm not being nasty to them, and I will talk about to people, like I tell you, like Father Harrison, because he was very popular, so I debated him a little bit, but you can call it a debate if you want, because I wasn't really sure what he was believing at that time, and I thought he really was conservative. But if you guys want to find out a good thing about the Allah, well, he believes Muslims worship the true God. He does. He does. Harrison believes Muslims worship the true God, and he believes the old covenant is still in effect. Now, you find it interesting to read my refutation of Father Brian Harrison. You want to read that thing about on the Muslims? That guy's crazy. You want to see a kook brain, a nut? You know what he compared it to? Like he says, you know, when Muslims and other people that believe in different religions, it's really the same God, but they don't see him clearly. He says, it's like if you're watching Channel 4 News and you got the same broadcaster on your TV set, and your guy next to you is watching Channel 4 News, and he's got the same broadcaster on the TV set, but his antenna is a little blurry. So the picture comes through blurry. I said, you stupid bastard. I says, we're not even on the same station.
Yeah.
Blurry? I says, we're not even on the same station.
Yeah.
They're not on Channel 4. They're not looking at the real broadcaster.
Yeah.
So that was his way of trying to say, their Allah means God, so therefore they worship God, but they just don't see him clearly. Wait a second. And I say this to everybody, to that knucklehead that was over here. Remember Stanley, Stanley,
yeah.
A dog is a cat, Stanley?
Stashu,
when he came over here. I said, Stanley, do Muslims worship the true God? He said, yes. I said, wait a second. I said, is Jesus Christ God? He said, yes. Is the Most Holy Trinity God? Yes. Do the Muslims believe he's God? No. All right, well, are you that stupid? They come out and deny him. But Father Harrison's a sneaky little snake, and I tore his ass to pieces. I with a scalpel, I pulled him to pieces. I ripped him to shreds. He did the same thing with natural family planning. I got him on that, too. You want to look at something very interesting, you can look at that when they pull that crap on you. I said, he's pulling black magic on you people out there.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, it's basically simple. They come up, and they don't believe the Holy Trinity is God. I said, they're not even on the same channel, you knucklehead. Yeah.
Harrison running from the apostate diamond.
Yeah.
They wouldn't debate him. He wouldn't. I mean, Harrison wouldn't.
Well, actually, I debated him, and you know, you'll see. But the reason is I spent more time on him because he was popular.
Right.
And he's famous. And then what happened, he never answered my question. He said, we asked him, is the old covenant still in effect? He goes, that's not so easy of a question.
Yeah.
I went, you're a heretic.
Yeah.
I mean, not. It's still. You mean it might be? The old covenant might still be in effect? He goes, that's not so easy of a question. Now, he never answered her. It's all he said.
Yeah.
So I said, God, you're guilty, man. So he wouldn't answer me, right? And you'll see in the thing. I keep saying, as of now. I'm going to add an addendum on it anyway. But I had Phil contact him. I mean, Will. And Will, he didn't know at first that it was Will. Will says, hey, how you doing, Father Harrison? The Muslims worship the true God. And they tried to answer back, well, yeah, what
was on the old covenant.
Oh, the old covenant.
Yeah,
the old covenant.
Yeah,
the old covenant is still in effect. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a
yeah.
Question.
And they gave Will the thing, it's not an easy question, all that. And Will goes, what do you mean it's not easy? And Will's giving him a few quotes. He says, if I recall, you're with Richard Ibrani, aren't you? He says, you're not trying to learn.
Like an Ibrani-ite.
You're an Ibrani-ite. He said, you're not trying to learn, are you? You're just trying to, like, I want to get your answer. And here's the guy, Mr. Conservative. He left his Australia was where he was, and there was a modernist priest that he did rightly condemn, and they kicked him out of the seminary, and he couldn't find nowhere to go in Puerto Rico. So he becomes like the professor of the Pontifical Catholic University in Puerto Rico. That's where he ended up. And he's famous. And I told him, I said, you bastard. I said, you're teaching your kids this crap in school. You're teaching the Muslims worship the true God, and the old covenant is still in effect. That's what you're teaching. You're raping their souls. You're teaching these kids this stuff. Because his big thing was that our initial letters were in private. So he says, you're making my private letters public. I said, yeah, because after I found out you're not some heretic, I want people to know what you believe in.
Yeah.
Just like if I knew somebody was a private pedophile and I couldn't lock them up, I couldn't, like, get them off the streets, then if I could get them off the streets, I don't need to tell anybody, just the people that were involved. But if I can't lock them up and it's private, I'm going to tell everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to post it up. Watch out for the bastard. Keep your kids away from them. Anyway, you look at that Father Brian Harrison refutation. But I don't even spend that much time on people anymore, because even then, and I spent a long time with Patrick Henry 1 year on the Epikaya thing,
yes,
and Father Agregi and Cabrini. I don't do that. It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
It's not a waste of time. I'm not saying the Harris thing was totally a waste of time, but I think I probably could have cut it short a little sooner. So there's a period of time when you might want to do something, but you got to be careful. We don't set up debates. I don't need to debate anybody. I'm not evading anybody neither, because I know I got the truth. And if I sent you something like one of my books, like the Divine Essence thing or the Holy Eucharist and about the Holy Eucharist and the soul of Christ, if I send you, or the desecration, and I send you, and I know I covered all the bases. Now, if you read it and you asked me a goodwill question, I will answer you. I will answer you. I will go back and forth with you and try to help you. But if I know that I covered everything and you're just lying, I don't debate you. This debating thing, it's like, I don't know, it's like humanism. It's like I'm gonna get them by my own sly debating technique. And like you said, along with these people who have been debating, there's no consequences anyway. You know, there's one pope that said something really great. And I do think that even some of the church fathers, maybe even some of the saints, I think some of them were debating unnecessarily. Not Augustine or anything, when he was refuting the Arians. Because that was, you needed to do that because they were famous. So I'm not saying that. But there was one pope early on that came out and said, it's in Denziger's even, I think it is. And he said, once the church has determined a dogma, it's no longer open for debate. Because the minute you start saying, we can bring this back up again and talk about it, you're saying it may not be true.
Yeah.
And in essence, you're denying the dogma we already fought over.
Yeah.
Now, if you look back about all the fights that go on theologically about allowable opinions, and then finally they're resolved after like bloody battles, even among saints who are on all opposing sides, and they're fighting with one another on theological issues that haven't been defined, and now the church says, okay, and here's the definition. You accept it or you don't. So here's a definition, right? Are we going to wait 100 years later, 20 years later, and then another guy, non-Catholic, will come along and say, hey, I don't know about that. Let's debate this whole thing all over again. Let's resurrect this debate. And so we're going to have so-called nominal Catholics and maybe good Catholics have to go back at it again. But after what the Pope said, what should you go back at? All I want to hear from you is the theology defending the dogma. You can argue sometimes about theologies or on dogmas, about how to defend the theology, and you can have two or three different theologies defending the one same dogma. That, you can have something like that. Let's see. But anyway, it was interesting because they all pull that crap. Oh, Allah means God, and you know, that's why we brought that whole thing up. You know, Allah means God, and they worship God because they mean God. Look, that's why I said, even when you use the word God, which is generic amongst all people, that's a different issue, because then you have to look at their religion. But Allah is commonly understood, and then Hector had a really good thing on it. That means the moon god. Them god, they're small g god. And there's a lot of that false ecumenism likes to throw that crap in there. So can we start referring to, like, the Hindu god or the, you know, But we know legitimate names for God, like Yahweh, Elohim, and those are legitimate names. But we went over that, too. You want to look at, it's very interesting, because when we were talking about the Allah thing, I just brought to my mind the Father Harrison thing, and I went,
yeah.
I said, this is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable when you look at this guy. You want to go to the university with this guy?
Francis Maloof was the same way.
Maloof? Same way. Francis Maloof up at the St. Benedict Center believed Muslims worshiped the true God.
Yeah.
Now, he was a Muslim, and he was a Freemason. And then he became a Christian later on, so-called.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? But if he always believed Muslims worshiped the true God, he's no Christian. He never was. Never. And he was follower, he's a Fenianite, up in St. Benedict Center. He's dead now and presumed to be in hell. Big philosopher guy, too. But one woman who knew him said something to me, Rich, I don't think you realize it, but he said something pretty bad once, and I didn't know what it was. I didn't have time to ask her because we were talking, and I forgot to say, well, what was it? But then later on, I found out.
Then I called.
Oh, yeah, Will got him on. Did you have him on the phone? Or you wrote
him? Yeah, phone. I think it was
Will had him on the phone.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
The Inquisitor.
Ask
by the way.
That question.
The Inquisitor.
So, yeah, then it was about the Muslim, and he said, oh, yeah, Allah means God, and, you know, they
Allah means God.
You know,
it means God in
all
of it.
Yeah. You say the doorknob's God,
but I can't believe it.
No, I know.
He
did.
That. Here's Mr. Salvation
Dogma,
man.
No, he didn't back down either.
This is how sneaky they are. I'll tell you about Father Harrison. And then they're supposed to hold the Salvation Dogma, right? So Father Harrison goes up there and he gives some lectures, and he says, they all say they hold the dogma. They all say it.
Yeah, right.
Some are bad, though. They even say there is salvation outside the church, but none really say that. There's no salvation. In fact, they're saved by the church, although they don't know it. You know all the ploys they play. But when Harrison went, I said, what's he doing in St. Benedict Center? But you'll see, in my debate with him, it came out. I said, do you believe that all men who die and go to a particular judgment, believing in a false God, or practicing a false religion, or believing in no God, are damned to hell? And he said, well, the one that practices false religion is not so easy. Because he believes Protestants can be saved. That's what he believes. Like Jerome. Jerome believed if you're baptized, everybody who's baptized is saved. Everybody who professes belief in Christ, that's what Jerome believed. He's dead. He gave up the universal salvation, or said Origen heard, but he believes if you're baptized and you believe in Christ, he'll save you in the end. You may have to go through these levels of, like the Hindu, what do you got? The Hindus or Buddhists, these levels of purification after you die, and you're going to come out of it.
Well, they said they could go to hell, but they're going to be released from hell, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what Jerome said.
Yeah,
the Protestant. But you have to be baptized.
Right.
He believed that until the day he died.
Exactly.
But that's what, and even the crazy stuff, Walker said, once a Catholic, was a Catholic. But that's what he believes. He believes Protestants can be saved. Protestants can be in the way of salvation. That's what he believes.
Yeah.
Because they believe in the Holy Trinity, they believe in Christ. So that's what he believes.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
He's a heretic, right? He's up there at St. Benedict Center, palsy-wowsying around with these guys. And they don't believe that. That's what they say, right?
Yeah.
Technically, they don't believe Protestants can be saved. You know, but even the Diamond Brothers believe Protestants can be saved.
Yeah.
Even them.
Exactly.
Look at the thing I had with them.
Yeah.
But when they actually said that if you're 20 years old and you never heard about the Catholic Church and you're born in the Protestant family because you believe in Christ and the Holy Trinity, you could be Catholic. That's what they said.
Yeah.
They told that to Ronald Dar. Remember Ronald Dar?
Yeah.
He got scandalized by it. Yeah, he wrote me. That's when and I said, wait a second. You told Ronald Nard that he was a Lutheran, and he says, I didn't hear about Catholicism until I was 20 years old. And now I'm a Catholic. I rejected Lutheranism. You mean to tell me I really was a Catholic all those 20 years? And well, because you're invincibly ignorant of the knowledge of the Catholic faith. That's what they believe.
Yeah.
These sneaky bastards, you know what I mean? They're sneaky little bastards. Sneaky, slippery little
so
evil slick bastards.
You could be saved in your fault. Yeah. No, I don't want to hear about it getting on because I'm already.
And God's blessing. God's blessing somebody who's in a Lutheran church.
Exactly.
Professing heresies. Who's not in the truth. He's blessing these people, and they're Catholics. Diamond Brothers believe. I use the Amish example, too.
Because
they're pretty holy looking. Looking holy on the outside, and they don't speak to nobody. I said, that means like Amish people could be saved from one generation to another. Just don't teach them about the Catholic faith. Make sure, as soon as you teach him, he's in trouble.
Try to get away with that ignorance is bliss when you're at the traffic court with the judge.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Brian says, try to get away with ignorance is bliss at the traffic court with the judge.
Yeah.
But all these things deny the providence of God, the predestination of God, the commands of God, and has God blessing people while they're doing something sinful, and mortally sinful, and blessing them, and saying they're well-pleasing to him. And my point, you go ahead.
Go to the Old Testament and try to find out what anybody besides the Jews that were saved.
Exactly. Anybody, you had to believe in the true God.
You had to believe in one
God. If you didn't believe, or Job, or even if you weren't a Gentile, you had to believe in the one God, the true God.
Yeah.
And you had to know his commandments. And so, this whole salvation thought, it's amazing how all these guys fall into like the heresies one after another.
Yeah.
And they end up denying the very things that they stand on. Even Feeney, that senile bastard. I mean, that guy cursed him with senility near his death. He reconciled with the Norris Auto Church before he died. And he knew they denied the dogma. So wait a second. Okay, let me understand one thing here then. According to what you did, then dogmas aren't really dogmas. You're just fighting over an allowable opinion that you guys happen to have a deep, heated debate about. But if it's about dogma, and that's what he said, and he was right, well, then those guys are heretics. So what are you allowing them to reconcile with them? Going to Mass in their churches. You see the hypocrisy?
Mm-hmm.
The whole world is full of hypocrisy and lies. And that's what the final days are all about. And my thing on this, like, any of the topics I cover, and if I miss anything, somebody tells me about it, and I add it to my book. So, you know, you showed a guy the thing on desecrations. And he looks at all the desecrations and he goes, oh, I think it's sinful, but it's not idolatry. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Until you admit that's idolatry. And we said to Stanley Stasio over here, he went to the Pontifical University in Rome. He's big shot, but he left because he said, remember he had problems?
Yeah, yeah.
So we thought maybe he's Orthodox. We don't know what he fought over, but he's a piece of work too.
Yeah.
So after he told me the thing about the Muslims, that they still worship a God, I said, well, Stanley, I said, get out of here. I don't want you in here. He said, well, I knew I should have kept my mouth shut. That's what he said. I should have kept my mouth shut. He says, well, I'm glad you didn't keep your mouth shut. Because now I know what you believe in. I says, do me. I'll tell you, anyway, I said, this took place too, right? So during the same day. And so I ended up kicking him out. I said, no, I don't want you here praying. Well, you can't pray with this. He was in a choir. You can't be with us. He was right up the block from me. So during that same time, I said, look, Stanley, truth is truth. Truth doesn't change. I said, for instance, that's why we call him Stanley, a cat is a dog, Stanley. I said, Stanley, for instance, I said that to him later, didn't I?
That was later, right?
That was later, yeah.
Yeah.
So I kicked him out. I said, Stanley, you don't come back in here until you tell me that Muslims don't worship the true God, that they worship a false God. Once you tell me that, I'll let you back in and we'll start talking all over again. Until something else, maybe a roadblock, or he never came back. But we see him every now and then in town.
Rich.
Yeah.
The wall is black.
Yeah, yeah. Left. Well, one day I'm walking up my block, my hill there, and he's lives a block away from me. And I see him, and I don't, every time I see him, I like to walk on the other side of the street, right? I went, oh, but I said, he's right, still looking right at me. Oh, I'm not nasty. I said, Stanley, how you doing? I said, you still like, good, there's still hope for you. I said, Stanley, let me tell you something. I said, you know, truth is truth. And there was a cat walking by.
Yeah.
I said, truth is truth. You know, you can't change it when it comes to dogmas. I said, for instance, see that cat? That cat's a cat. It's not a dog. And he says, no. And he says, if someone thinks it's a dog, it's a dog. I said, are you kidding me? You mean to tell? I said, but what is it? To that person, it's a dog. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And that's why we call him Stanley. A cat is a dog, Stanley.
Yeah.
And I should use the example of a fish.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
you see? Or the gun.
Yeah.
I had another guy pull this one with me in New Jersey. And he came up and he said, the truth is what you believe it is. And so whatever you believe it is. So wait a second. If I have a gun in my hand and I'm pointing at your head, and you believe it's a bar of soap, I pull the trigger, do I wash your face or blow your brains out? That's what I told him. I was so angry when he called me. I almost wanted. I said, "What are you trying to freak me out with your weirdness?"
Yeah.
I said, "Wait a second. If I got a gun pointing your head, and you positive thinking it's a bar of soap, I pull the trigger, I wash your face, and your brains go out." Go ahead. You ain't going to be saying that when I have a gun on your head. I'll change your stupidity real quick with a gun on your head. And I should have said that there's another good one, right? Okay, Stanley, what happens if somebody says the cat's a fish? To him, it's a fish. Okay, so if we put it underwater, does that thing, whatever it is, drown or does it live?
Yeah.
Now, if it drowns, it can't be a fish, right? It, you see how this relates to like a man is a woman is a man?
Yeah.
A man is a woman could be a man. Positive. Tucker had a great thing the other day. He was nailing it. Just like, I think we're praying for him. And he was repeating stuff I was saying.
Oh, yeah.
He said, positive thinking. Think hard enough and a man could be a girl. Think hard enough and you can add 5 inches to your height. That's what he said. So he goes, you just, I don't know if you guys are following, but we got this black radical bastard bitch ass lesbian probably. I don't know what she is. Lefty liberal woman. Running for the Supreme Court of the United States?
Yeah.
And this one Republican woman asked her a question, and the big thing was Biden said, we want to have the first black woman on the Supreme Court, a woman in black. So they said, well, that's good. You're making qualifications. That's prejudice. Why don't you just get the most qualified candidate? Because once you start doing that, you're compartmentalizing and you're not based upon merit. But anyway, here's the point. They're grilling her, and the one lady says to her, the Republican lady, can you give me the definition of a woman? Because Lotus says, go on, man. And she goes, oh, well, no, I can't do that. Well, no, I can't. I'm not a doctor, and I can't do that. And I think it was interesting because even Tucker said something like this, like, I don't need to be a veterinarian to know a dog is a dog. I don't need to be a veterinarian to know that a dog is a dog. Anyway, she can't give the definition of what a woman is. Now, it's funny because Tucker says, well, this is interesting because Biden said he wants to pick the first woman for the Supreme Court. But if you don't know what a woman is, how can you pick a woman?
Yeah.
She couldn't even give a definition of a woman. But, and so Tucker's giving the definition. She's got the uterus. She's got the female part. She can have a baby. No man can ever have a baby. And she's running, and she's going to get because the Democrats are in power now. They're going to pick her. You got somebody in the United States on the Supreme Court doesn't know how to tell you what a woman is. Our country's being run by bozos. But bozo the clown. Not even the Antichrist is that stupid. He's got these clowns working for him. It's almost embarrassing to think that these are a 7-year-old kid with the use of reason who's a Catholic or even a good world person could be smarter than her. And she's going to be dictating what we have to believe in? The whole world's full of people like her. She actually said, I can't tell what a woman is.
Steve Bannon, I don't know who it was, but he said like a lot of the liberal news outlets weren't even covering her.
Oh, no.
Because they knew, and people saw her, like, the
They were praising her, though. They were even praising her. They were standing up for her. And then Cory Booker was slobbering all over. I don't know if you saw that. The Tucker nailed that one, too. But, I mean, this is... No, really. I don't know. I know men been evil before. We read the Bible. There's homos and even cross-dressers in the past. But I still don't think we ever came to this point. But at least I'll say this much. Worldwide, because of the major media. But where someone's going to come out and say, I can't tell you what a woman is. I have no definition. She goes, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a biologist. And I like the ones, he says, wait a second. He says, like, you don't need to be veterinarian to know what a dog is. So here we are. A woman is a man. Stanley, a woman is a man. A man is a woman. It's an absolutely insane asylum world. And they, I think TJ had a great quote from St. Anthony. Where was that from, TJ? It was St. Anthony of the Desert. And it said, in the final days, the whole world's going to be mad. And they're going to call you mad because you don't believe like them.
Yeah.
Well, there's an example of that, right?
Now. We're living in it.
Right? All this, you know, you tell this to an inner city kid who didn't go to college. Only people that go to college and you took like sociology, psychology, philosophy, and all these ideologies, and then you're sitting back and thinking, think harder, son, maybe, how do we know that's true, though? Well, how do we know that's true?
Everything's
relative. How do we know anything anymore? You don't even have to do drugs, but you feel like you're on drugs when you come out. Imagine add drugs to that, and that marijuana, mind altering, and LSD. You got a field day.
Yeah.
Then these guys are really seeing stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, my friend, who's a boy, he thinks he's a girl. And the other day I looked at him and I seen a girl. A girl. The worst ones are the ones that make them look like you don't even know. They you know what I mean? They fake you out.
Yeah.
Then they pretend they're women and win all the
sports. Yeah, God's just though, isn't he? He's mocking the women because all these guys are playing in female sports and they're breaking all the records.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, you're gonna have no women playing sports. They're all guys. They're all guys because they're gonna if you got enough transgender guys, they're gonna knock out all the biological women and they don't play sports anymore. But they got to have a minor league where they play. It's a mockery because women should be playing those kind of sports anyway.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
NBC got in trouble because they had a picture of the.
Oh.
And they airbrushed it to make her look more feminine.
Oh. They had it's called the Daily Bee or something. Well, anyway, here's another thing that happened. Something like that. I forget what it was. But we have another thing, like Time Magazine or something. The woman of the year was a transgender.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was that freaky looking Jewish guy that's in the Biden's?
Rick Cavett,
yeah, what's his name?
Richard Levine. Rachel. He goes by Rachel.
His name was Richard Levine. Now he calls himself Rachel Levine.
Yeah.
And you look at this creature. What a monstrous looking creature, right? Nasty looking, weird, monstrous looking, whatever you want to call it. And he calls himself Rachel Levine. He's on the front as woman of the year. And the Sacramento Bee was commenting, right? They said, he's no woman. That's a man. That's a man. That's crazy. And they banned him from YouTube and Twitter and all your standard. They banned him. They shut them down. And they want to fine him, too. They want to bring him to jail for saying that he was a man. He's going to go to jail. And the major media follows it. And if you dare say he's a man, really... You lose your job if you're a teacher. They'll throw you out of school. They'll everything. I mean, it's crazy. Is this not the days of the Antichrist? You know? The auntie, the uncle, the cousin, the nephew is all the Antichrist. The whole family of the Antichrist. Antichrist, Uncle Christ, Nephew Christ, Niece Christ. Oh, what a mess. I imagine it's pretty similar all over, and not all over the world, but the democracies, the Western democracies. That's why Putin comes out. He's right.
Yeah.
The guy's right. They hate him because he's and they hate the zealous Muslims because they're killing homos, obstinate homos.
Yeah,
if you're obstinate, yeah.
I'm glad Biden. Anybody don't even think about coming into NATO. 1 inch into NATO.
You don't cook. Yeah, yeah. Tough Biden.
Yeah.
Tough talk. All the lies that are taking place over there. The United States got the nerve to preach to people about killing people. We don't kill people.
Yeah.
But you see how the Stanley thing has reverberated through society?
Yeah.
And he's learning this in the Angelicum in Rome, which that Angelicum is like Aquinas's. It was named after Aquinas. Aquinas. Apostate Thomas Aquinas. It was named after him. You see where all this leads? I was just reading today about wisdom in Ecclesiasticus chapter 24. Wisdom dwells with God's chosen people. It only dwells with it. They're the ones that, when you have wisdom, she shall save you. She will teach you virtue. She will tell you the way of life, the way of going, the way of coming. She will fill you up with every. Wisdom dwells only with God's chosen people, those who fear God and believe in God. That's all I need to know. You're going to sit down and tell me I got to learn the wisdom of philosophy of Plato and Aristotle? I get this newsletter from this Cismatic. I don't know how I got my name, but they sent me a newsletter. It's a unorthodox, as Hector would say correctly, an unorthodox, and they're heretics too. It's true, they're not just Cismatics, and they're in the United States. So I look at his newsletter, right? And his big newsletter was he was talking about Confucius and Aristotle, and he was comparing how wonderful they are and all their differences. Like, and this is our theological deep thinking, and I say deep stinking. Your thinking is stinking. It's beginning to stink up the room. You know what I mean? So he's got pages, a couple pages on this. you know? How great Confucius and Aristotle and the virtue. You're wasting your time on this crap? Has not God given us all we need to know on faith and morals in His Holy Catholic Church and our faith? You don't understand what an insult that is to start saying, I need to go to these people to learn about faith and morals.
Yeah.
You can use examples how they may have believed us on some things, but they go to them to be virtuous. They praise them. They glorify them. Who wants to read this crap?
Yeah.
This not only is this not going to make you holy, you're cursed for saying what you said in that article. I say again, wisdom dwells only with the true faith. Obey God's commandments, and everything will go, not Confucius, not Aristotle.
Yeah.
And you want to be blessed? Going back to Francis Maloof, he was big on that. Big. I went over that on my Fear of the Jews, you know. Big on philosophy. Philosophy head. You remember I told you he made a book, Philosophy Perennis?
Yeah, yeah.
I said in my Fear of the Jews, I said he wants to make his contribution to philosophy. I said, good, you can do that. So when you go to hell, you can be side by side with Aristotle, Plato.
Yeah.
There's only one good Plato.
Yeah.
It's the Play-Doh. Yeah. That Play-Doh that you can mold and make things with. We can use them only for their secular things that they were, like rhetorics and stuff like that, but not on faith and morals. So, but here's, we descended into such a weird place, and you know, this is good though, because it's separating the wheat from the chaff. It's really forcing some people, and I see it, that we're like compromising, we're beginning to say, this is getting a little bit too weird for me. Just a little bit too weird. The ones that compromised and they were going along with it because they wanted to keep their jobs. Well, some may be sitting back going, this has just gone a little too high. What's going to go on here? You want your kid to go to school? And they're forcing these kids to use these neutral pronouns now? You've got guys using girls' bathrooms. They got the one guy who still has his male part in the female locker room. And they're taking showers together. I mean, you, come on! What are you, crazy?
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're not looking at the perversion of the devil and all of this, I mean, and these are the extreme lefty liberals.
Yeah.
And a lot of your people on the right are scared, and they go along.
Yeah.
And they're guilty by sins of omission association because they don't want to lose their jobs. The rhinos, they don't say nothing.
Yeah.
The rhinos. Rhinos are just Republicans in name only, Freemasons. Or really, or at least they're influenced by a lot of money. They got blackmail on them or something. So we're living it's crazy. It's a crazy world. You know, really. I mean, if when I grew up, if somebody said something like that in the neighborhood where I grew up, we'd beat them silly, and we may kill them too. They may die even. They may die because you just I got carried away. You know. I was only going to beat him for 5 minutes, and we took like about a half hour. We took about a half hour. I don't know. He's not breathing anymore. Is he? Kick him. Look, is he breathing? No. Okay. Is he breathing?
Remember the Patriot scene with the guy with the hatchet?
Oh, yeah. Or in Rome. The Rome movie. The pool Rome. I mean, this is a normal instinct. And kids still have that normal instinct. Some kids do. They'll come out and say stuff. They get in trouble. You know. You'll read it up. The effeminate kids still get bullied. Well, if you're effeminate, you deserve to get bullied.
Yeah.
Kick your ass over around the block 10 times and maybe you'll grow up like a man.
Yeah.
Your parents should have kicked your ass around the block a couple of times.
Yeah.
But right now, if you do that in school, your kid is like an anathema.
Yeah.
He's like a madman.
Yeah.
You know, they'll put him in jail maybe. He's a bully for... Look, they had a case like that just recently. It was weird. The one kid was going to school, and he was a boy, and he changed over to be a girl. And he wants everybody to become a girl. And so he started picking on him, beating him up and stuff. And now, so he was all over the news. This poor guy.
Yeah.
They interviewed his mother.
Yeah.
And he's saying, and they came after me, and they hit me.
Yeah.
And they said mean things about me. And I was so hurt.
Yeah.
Hurt? You didn't get hurt enough.
Yeah.
I'll kill your ass. Read the Old Testament. You die.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give the kid one chance to convert the kid, but the parents die if they condone it.
Yeah.
The mother dies, I'll give the kid a second chance. You come back one more time like this, you're dead.
Yeah.
We'll stone you to death.
I wonder if you kick them all the way around the block.
Yeah.
And then they change their mind by the time they get all the
way. Well, I'll tell you one thing, a beating does change people.
Yeah.
That's true. It's in the Bible. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child. Or, you know.
Yeah, it says in Proverbs
in the Bible.
He doesn't strike at the child.
Yeah.
Saves his soul.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good proverb. You're right. Yeah. Right. Right. Beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell.
Yeah.
For if thou beat him with a rod, thou shalt deliver his soul from hell and all that. But, no, beatings do change people. You know, in God's grace, of course, but you need both because you need free will cooperation. If you get a young kid for some reason, he puts on a girl's dress and it's like kind of innocent, he thinks he's a girl, you got to stop it right away.
Yeah.
You got to spank him. Don't ever do that again. You're a boy. Bing, ba boom, ba boom.
Yeah.
Don't give him dinner for one night or something. And then that, you see how quick you straighten that thing out. Ba bing, ba boom. Well, you go along, you tell a kid. Oh, is that, you want to wear that girly dress? Well, let's talk about it. Do you want to be a girl? Yes, Mommy, I think I want to be a girl. Well, that's okay with me, because maybe that's really what you are, a girl. You know, we'll bring you to a doctor and let him check you out, a psychiatrist, and he'll give you the red light. What's the blue light? The red light?
He'll
give you the green light. He'll give you the green light.
Think of a parent trying to dissuade his kid. And every news show, everybody in government,
everybody
is condoning
all
that. How could you tell them it's wrong?
That's why they're multiplying. You got these kids more and more coming out with these problems because they're being justified by everybody else. But there's still a group of kids that don't go along with this, and that are really angry. And these are kind of like Hector's a young kid, and you're going to get kids like that and Gustavo, and they're going to come with us. I'm going to say, I don't want to hear this crap anymore. If you went down to my neighborhood, you get beat with billy clubs, you get caught again, we may kill you. And you're right, that's when we grew up. Now it's the complete opposite. They're walking around in the public, flaunting it. And if you try to do anything, you're the one that goes to jail. Completely, within like, I don't know, even in the 60s and 70s you couldn't get away with it. The 80s, 90s, it started, now it's like geared up into high gear. High gear. And, you know, and your people, like some of these people say, personally, I don't believe in homosexuality, but I believe they have the right and they should be public and all that. Okay, you don't believe it, right? You're married. You have some kids. I want my kids to be normal so I can have grandkids and all that. Fine. But your kids aren't going to be normal now because you're accepting it, you stupid jerk. Your kid's going to hear you saying it's okay. You're going to tell your kids you can't say nothing. So what is your kid going to say? I guess it's not bad. I guess there's nothing really wrong with it. Because my parents aren't really condemning it. It's just a personal choice. They would prefer me not to, but I could. But beyond that, it goes deeper. God curses you. God pulls his grace away. And he puts the homo demon in you. And you start having homo thoughts. That happens in the womb with kids if they're not right. Parents aren't, a lot of kids. They can have homo from the very womb. The very time they first start thinking, with the use of reason, the devil can go in there and make them think homo thoughts. Or make them think the girl is the boy. If you're not protecting your kids, you're not praying for them, you're not giving them grace. And then you got the whole society, like you said, Bruce, defending them. You got all these people lined up, ready to defend them. It's crazy. Anyway, can you imagine the Supreme Court justice? I mean, could you ever imagine such a... I cannot tell you what a woman is? Well, then... Are you a woman? Yeah, I think it is, really. Did Bob Oakley say, are you a woman, for instance? She didn't ask that, but that would have been nice, right?
Yeah,
for instance, are you a woman?
Yeah.
Well, yes. Why?
Yeah.
You just told me you can't tell what a woman is. Now, if she says, I can't tell you, I'll say, well, then Biden might be wrong because he wanted to pick a woman.
Yeah.
Are you black?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That's subjective, objective. I could be white. It all depends. Oh. What a sick world. If anybody can't see we're not on the brink of destruction of the Antichrist, then you deserve what you get. You know, the people who love the extreme lefty liberals, who love immorality and love this, for them, they're in paradise.
The honor gets also that Lindsey
This
Graham,
is utopia.
Yeah. I saw when Lindsey Graham went after her.
Yeah, yeah.
Supreme Court, about pornography.
Oh, Twitter. Pornography, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how she hadn't been punished.
Yeah. She lets porno people off real easy.
Yeah.
That, child molesters, too.
Yeah.
She gives them like a 3-month sentence and they're out of jail. And he says, you think it's okay to let these people back out?
She wants them to be monitored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just purposely letting perverts out on the street. You see what these people are? They're a bunch of lesbians, homosexuals, transgenders, freaky, Antifa, anti-law and order people. They don't want nobody to tell them what to do. Everybody can do whatever they want with no restrictions, no jail. And the only people that go to jail would be us for wanting to put them in jail. Any questions so far on that? And we'll go on with our next topic. Phil heard from the, wrote that guy Miguel Clifford, who was talking about, he said there's no good Bible out there that's trustworthy. And Phil had a good response to him, but he said, he told him that I'm working on this Bible and all that. But he says, so he writes to Phil, he says, what then do you suggest I use for the Old Testament English translation? Neither the nominal Catholic nor nominal Orthodox churches have either produced a valid English translation of both Testaments. It's amazing how this guy's asking his questions just right now, and I'm ready to put the Bible up within about a month. Probably it's getting that close. I've been searching for at least a year ever since I saw Richard Ivorani's video lecture, Life Begins in the Womb, and followed up by his article on the Sistine Clementine Vulgate Errors and Heretical Commentaries, which he exposes the Hirani Mina Sixtina Clementina Gregorian Latin Vulgata as having come from Jewish corrupted texts, compromised almost all vernacular translations. So Phil gave him a good answer. He said, my Catholic brother Richard Ivorani has been for years revising and correcting the Holy Catholic Bible. His work on this topic was mentioned in the above post by Miguel Clifford on 3-6-2022. His translation, are you writing this to him and you re-mentioned his name like that?
I think he wrote it to the post. Did you write it to the...
Did you write this to him, or who would you write this?
See, he wrote that on that site, and then I asked you if I could send him that, and I sent him that.
You sent him this?
Yeah.
But you're referring to him as if he's...
You put it on the site, not to him, right?
Yeah, I couldn't find his... I didn't know what his address was.
Oh, it's on the site, you're saying, yeah. He may beforehand post an incomplete translation for those who wanted to see this beforehand. I'm not going to give him an incomplete one. Only the brothers and inquirers. I don't want to get to go out to too many people. But I'm getting ready to put it out soon. This is just proof of God's telling me, Rich, get it out soon, because I'll never end, you know. I can always come up with something else that needs to be in there.
Right.
So I told you brothers the other day, and inquirers, only one more thing. Jesus is the Messiah. On the redemption, I added another thing. But I didn't add this. I did want to put this in. Ezekiel's temple. That's a really big one for dispensationalism. Ezekiel's temple. I'm getting ready to post that one up. And then I'm going to post it up without the pictures. And now, for your only hope of salvation, go to this site, pray, read, and do penance, and study the Catholic faith. Of the first 1,000 years of the Catholic Church, you must first determine to live the natural law, the law on your heart and reins, and then God will lead you to the truth. So that was a good answer, Phil. You get an A on that one. But you flunked last week on the other one. No,
yeah.
I'm just joking. Well, sometimes we all make mistakes. I mean, you know, that's why the brothers are here, to help one another. If you really care about the brother, you don't let him go on and making a fault, a sin, or a sin. Or it's just a mistake, even. If it's serious, if it's minor, you don't say nothing. If it's just like an inconsequential thing, like St. Paul says, don't even bother one another. Also, that guy in Spain, the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain. Now repeat that 7 times. The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain. That one's not too bad. Or she sells seashells on the sandy seashore. That was in that... Did you watch that one with the Welsh on the crown? When he was in the Welsh land, he was giving him those word twisters. Oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
That was good. That's your pronunciation. She sells seashells on the sandy seashore. What were we just talking about, man?
Spain, the guy from Spain.
The guy from Spain. Anyway, this guy from Spain, he's the one we told you. We sent the hard drive and everything. It took 6 months for him to get it. But I haven't heard from him. But we just heard from him. He emailed Will, and he is interested. Did I type this thing out? Or you had it in there?
I had it in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he has. Will will tell you. You can tell him what happened.
Okay.
Well, go ahead. Get him. Let you talk a little
all
bit.
Right.
Here. I'll take the rest.
Tell him what happened. No, so basically, 2 years ago, he had emailed me, and he lives in Spain, and he was asking questions about the faith, but then about, like, his job and like, what he should do, like, because. He's an investment guy, like an investment guy, invests in Wall Street and stuff like that. So, basically, he has some money. He bets for his parents, and he kind of messed up one time, and he lost a bunch of money, so he was kind of bad about that. But then he just emailed me, like, the other day. It was, like, 2 years from the date, exactly. And so he said, well, I've gotten over my, badness, or what he was, the investment thing, and then he said, I'm gonna try and do it again. So his big thing now is to try to figure out what he can invest in and what he can't invest in, like, what companies can he invest in, even though, he wants to buy, get the stock low, and then, have it, get in a good company, and then you keep it so you can make more money. So he was trying to tell me other parameters, like if they're, evil companies and stuff like that. So I, Brother Richard and I are going to discuss what, what the parameters are on that, so, but he wants to do. But anyway, with that being said, then he was getting into another point, because I said, well, look, I said, we have this Discord thing, and he has been looking at the site, and I guess he does, he has like a routine that he's in where he does pray every morning and read the Bible, and then he does some of our prayers. And then he was saying, well, look, he said, yeah, I talked about Discord, so why don't you come on Discord? He says, yeah, I know about Discord, and I know about the people. He says, but there's one problem I have, with something that Richard says, and I don't agree with, and, maybe you can help me. I said, well, go ahead, what is it? He says, well, Richard says that, God puts it in every man that they can know God, every human being is given that grace, that, natural law, that they can know God. He says, I don't believe that. He says, I think God withholds his grace, all of the grace from these people, that they can never know God, that some people can, they're under a curse, and that they're totally blind from day one, that they can never know God. And then I said, well, wait a minute. I said, look at John 1:9.
Was he saying that some people can know who God actually is, or his problem is you can't know that there is a God and that he does exist, even though you don't know who he is?
Yeah,
because
you can't know that. That grace is totally taken away, that they can never have the grace to know that there is a God.
A lot of the people whose graces are taken away from them still believe there's a God,
exactly.
But it might be like a Hindu God or a Buddhist God, or it might be the devil.
I guess he was like an atheist.
They got the use of reason.
Exactly.
Now, God could pull his grace away, but...
But after they abuse their free will not to cooperate with this grace for...
Even the devils believe in God and they have no grace. You could use that one.
Yeah, James.
The devils believe in God and they tremble.
Right, exactly.
And they have no grace.
Yep.
So you could use that one. As a matter of fact, remind email on that one.
Okay. Yeah.
That's in John.
James.
They'll believe it. They'll believe that there is one God. That does well. The devils also believe in trouble.
Exactly.
So they believe in God and they have no grace.
Right.
Yeah.
But what was it? John 1:9. He enlightens all men that come into the world. Like this is Christ when he says that. So I mean, has the natural law. And then I said like Romans 2:14 that even though the Gentiles they have a law unto themselves, even though they don't have the commandments. So you know right from wrong. And the idea of, like, don't you believe you have a soul, like Proverbs 19:2, where there is no knowledge of the soul, there is no good. So, I mean, like, how do people, I mean, people obviously come to the, why am I here, who created me, what's the purpose of life? What they do with that question is then their fault. But there's that grace right there that God gives in everybody, like, what do I do with it? Now, if they choose through their free will not to pursue that, then that's their fault. But that grace was initially there that God gave them to pursue that line, but they don't have, and that's in everybody, right? Oh, no, I don't believe, I believe he totally cursed that they don't have any grace at all to know that God exists or that they can find God. Yes, Even he wills for all men to be saved, 1 Timothy 2:4. So I'm like, why would he will for all men to be saved if they don't give him the means?
And even the devils are man and humans, so I have no grace
exactly.
believing in God.
Right. So
that's weird.
It was weird. I don't know if there's a communist like thing in this family, maybe that because they don't believe in God.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
They don't want to believe in God.
Right, they don't want to believe in God.
He's making
but
an
he's
excuse for it.
Yeah, he's trying to say it's a total curse that they couldn't even, if they wanted to, God will never let them have that grace to know that there's a God. I'm like, I said, no, man. Then I said, I'm going to pray for you. Then I was thinking after I was done talking with Our Lady Guadalupe, because she came from Spain, I was like, pray to her, for him to enlighten them, to just come out of this thing,
It's kind
of
weird that you would hang your hat up on
I know.
Thing.
I agree.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
I didn't have the, what was it? Somebody, we can tell you this name, but Ryan Shinoda even said to me once, he didn't believe, he says, how come you know by the natural law that we have, he didn't agree that you can know by the natural law that we have a soul.
Right.
And he didn't believe in that. He says, how can you know you have a soul?
Yeah.
I said, many ways. He said, first of all, I says, when you go to sleep and you dream, right?
Yeah.
You're not in your body, but you're speaking to people and you're seeing things.
Exactly.
What is seeing? What is speaking? Yeah. It's not your tongue. It's not your eyes. There's a lot of ways you can know you have a soul.
Exactly.
Like he had a hard time with that one, which is
right.
weird.
It is.
I think that's weird when people ask questions like that. you almost think like they're atheistical or are making excuses for atheists.
Right.
Or maybe he has a couple atheists in his own family, like you said, his parents or something.
Right, right.
And,
right.
And he thinks that they're so stubborn, they don't want to, but that stubbornness is because of their own free will.
Yeah, exactly. That's what people have.
It's your own fault. It's
right.
Not God's fault. Yeah.
Pride goeth before his fall.
Pride goeth before his
right.
Fall. Yeah, probably.
That was another thing, too. Like, if you, with the soul, when we were getting into the soul, I said, yeah, what about things like justice and love, emotions, you know,
yeah.
Fear, hate? Where does that come from? Is that molecules just coming together randomly? And, like, you have these, you generate these emotions or feelings, you know? He didn't have any answers. I just said, if you don't believe that, or that comes from a spiritual side of you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then that once you do concede that you have a soul, then okay, now it's immaterial. Where did it come from? It's not just a body, physical thing. There is a higher being that created that. Then who is that higher being? It all adds, it goes into line with that way.
And it's logic.
Exactly.
We should want to email one more time on that issue and say, look, here's another thing. Do you believe that there's any grace in hell with the devil and damned humans? First ask them that question. And then he'll say, no, there's no grace. I says, but they believe in God.
Yep.
You just said you can't believe in God if you don't have any grace.
Yeah.
And
right.
Quote St. James.
Yeah.
St. James.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
But you almost think sometimes that that's an excuse or something else he believes
yeah.
in. Like, but I don't know. Maybe it's a weird thing.
Isn't yeah, it is.
Of all the things we're teaching that are so difficult,
yeah.
This is an easy thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like a hard thing.
Yeah.
But he's making a hard thing out of it.
Yeah. Maybe if you are in a communist system, or you don't believe in a soul, or you don't believe, you know,
because
God,
you believe
in this,
or because someone believes that, think of me that, or he knows somebody is like that.
Right, exactly.
And so he thinks
so
it's impossible, but it's not impossible.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
God, because if it was impossible, then how come we have atheists who convert?
Exactly. Yeah.
How does the atheist convert?
Exactly.
If he doesn't have any grace.
You know,
how could he convert?
And they're, you know, I said, look at atheists. He believes in evolution. Well, he takes leaps of faith. His own thing is a religion too. You know,
but you don't even need God's grace to believe God exists.
I know.
That's my point. The devil's.
Yeah.
You don't need his grace to believe he exists. You know, just the use of reason.
Yeah. Reason.
You know, I mean, the devils don't have any grace, and they believe that God exists.
Yeah.
They believe he exists, but they hate him and they
yeah.
disobey him. That's a strange thing.
It is. Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to mention him during Mass.
Yeah.
He needs some prayers. What do you think?
Yeah,
you think he needs some prayers or stuff? Which one? As they like not to have God in their knowledge, God turned them over to a reprobate sense. That they to believe that he doesn't even exist. Yeah, I got the guy in Spain. Let's hope the guy in Spain, the rain is grace that falls upon his soul. It's just this kind of a weird thing not to want to be associated with this because of that point. Like, that's the one thing out of all the stuff.
I
mean, I could expect some other deeper questions. Like, you never cease to be surprised about. You know, even Shanuna surprised me when he talked about this whole thing. I'll try to make this brief because I posted the article up anyway. You guys had a good discussion on Psalm 21 the other day. It was good. And God was inspiring you to do that because it's something I need to put in my, I need to fix in my body. Well, I'm going to correct because I believe the Masoretic text was really correct on that. But what I did was, I showed you guys, I wrote that article to show you guys what I do when I look at texts. This is the process I go through. But the first thing is, also, like, in this case, there's two allowable opinions. I go down on the opinion that the Masoretic text was correct. Give me the thing, these brothers here probably don't know what we're talking about, some of them. But it was a good discussion you guys had, and it led me into this, which that's God telling me to fix this text. But I'm going to put a commentary on the other text as an allowable opinion, even though I don't believe in it. Sometimes it's not even an allowable opinion. Like when they mess up about the tribes, and they say there's only one tribe, you know, no allowed opinion there, you know. But here's a case where the Masoretic text was correct and the Septuagint was not. But it was also, I had another text too, and other sources also had it. But here I'll show you. Psalm 21. Now, TJ brought up a good point too when they were talking about this. Certain psalms or prophecies deal in part with Jesus Christ, but in other parts not with Jesus Christ. So you got to just pick out, like, okay, this applies to Christ, but the following two paragraphs don't apply to Christ because it's clearly applying to a sinful man. So, fine, you have that example in the scriptures where you can take a couple verses that apply to Christ, but the following verses don't. And that happens. That's fine. But when you look at this Psalm 21 and you read that psalm, it's so perfectly Christ in every way that it's all about Christ. So you don't want anything in this psalm to contradict what's prophesying about Christ. So now when you read it, and it's Psalm 2 though, right? I mean, it's verse 2, Psalm 21:2. It says, "Unto the end for morning protection, a psalm for David. O God, my God, look upon me. Why hast thou forsaken me? Far from my salvation are the words of my sins." Now, that we use that to say when Christ is on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, I cry to thee day and night, and thou wilt not hear. Lord, thou wilt not hear. I have to die by night and day, and it shall not be as follow me. But when you read the whole thing, it's referring to Christ. But that's the only one we had a problem with. Because if it's referring to Christ, and he says, far from my salvation are the words of my sins. But Christ had no sin. Now, the Masoretic text says, I've got to read it off the top of my head. Something like, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are the words of my cry so far from you? Why is my cry so far from you? That's the one I believe is the accurate text. Because when you change that, you have no problem trying to explain what does this mean if it's Christ. Now, you do have Augustine believe that it said sins and transgressions. Septuagint says it. Masoretic doesn't say it. The New American Bible doesn't say it. The Jerome Bible of 1990 doesn't say it. There's a few other, one other person here that doesn't say it. They use the word that I say. They use crying or roaring. And so we do have, and then even the commentaries say it. An old psalm thing from St. Germain, I think, or whatever, and he didn't have it. He had my cry come on to you.
Do you think like the original Septuagint would have the right thing? Because that was the one where they...
But there is no original.
I'm just saying, though.
Oh, yeah, it would have it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, this just proves that the Septuagint was corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And early on in, because Justin Martyr uses it too, the apostate. So that just proves the Septuagint, and it is in a few places, very few. Mostly it's like dominates, you know.
Right.
But you will have mistakes. Here's one of them that I believe is a mistake. But I'm not going to put that down as I'm going to allow the other opinion. But what I do in a case like this, when it's a toss-up, I first look at the whole verse and I say it doesn't make sense for them to make a complicated interpretation on this. But the way Augustine and other people, when they use the word words of my, far from my salvation or the words of my sins, what they say is, he wasn't a sinner, but he took our sins upon him. And so it was like as if he was a sinner, which is the legitimate interpretation if that's the correct text. So what I do, I'm going to put the text in that I believe is true in the text. In the commentary, I'm going to say, however, there is another possibility, which I don't believe in, but it's still an allowable opinion, that it does mean words of my sins. And I use 2 Corinthians 3:5 to link that in. But I'm just showing you guys the kind of work I do all the time when I'm choosing Bible verses. I don't just pick things out of nowhere. I've got a precedences, and I do all these checkings. Yeah.
That's why the world's so screwed up. A person will take the Bible and read a little bit, and they get screwed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you went on one more page,
It's because they don't have the right interpretations, and it can lead them into heresy.
Right.
Yeah, and this has been going on for years. What was that one verse that I had and in chorus that I had up there in 2 Corinthians that I used? 13:5? That he had made him sin. He who had no sin. Okay, it's in Corinthians. He who had no sin was made sin for us. St. Paul says that about Christ. He who had no sin was made sin for us because he took our sins upon him. I studied that one up and down. I looked at Syriac and everything. That is what it says. And there's good commentaries on it. He took our sins upon him and was made in the simulation of a sinner so he can take his sins upon us. But the reason, that's fine. So you could still say, if that Psalm 21 said, the words of my sins, fine. That, if that's true, then that's what it means. He took our sins upon him and was looked upon as if he himself was a sinner. But it's still that, when you look at it, he says, the words of my sins, and it says, he was made sin for us. It didn't say he was made a sinner for us, or he sinned. This says, the words of my sins. That's a little bit more powerful, a little harder to explain on the Psalm 21:2 on that translation. So I don't like it. I don't think it's the right one, but it could be. I still think the other one is correct. But just in case this one is correct, I'm going to have it in the commentary with the explanation for it. I don't always do that, but I do that when I have a problem like this where there's like a 50-50 balance and there is an explanation for it. But now you realize that if this text, the correct is what I'm saying, the Masoretic text, then you don't even need a commentary. It explains itself. But the reason I did it was because Augustine, and it's in other sources, it's a Septuagint, so I wanted to just let the people know that it's in other sources, it's an allowable opinion. Now, there's other times when I look at a text, there's no allowable opinion about it. The Masoretic is wrong, the Clementine is dead wrong, and you've seen those examples I've given where we know it's absolutely dead wrong, and I don't even allow an allowable opinion on those texts. But I did this just to show you guys to learn for your own educational purposes when you're looking how you can search these things out, because they were searching it out. Hector was looking at the Jerome T.J. Dermot, they were talking about the different kinds of KJV, the James Bible, and even the New American Bible does have some good stuff in it. It's got a lot of goofy stuff, too, because they try to, like, use different words too much. They got away from the real literal stuff. But sometimes you'll find stuff in there. Now, I looked at you'll see what I did there. I used the Septuagint Lancelot and the Thompson, and the Thompson's better than Lancelot. But Thompson had the word transgressions also. So you'll see how I'm going to, in that article, you'll see it, but I already got ready to put this in my Bible. And I think God was leading me to this, to change it in the Bible I had, or at least if I am going to change it, I'm going to put in what I believe to be the correct one. But I am also going to put the commentary in for those who believe it really was for the words of my sins. Because when you read the rest of the psalm, it's all, there's nothing, so everything can refer to Christ. Look, and they that saw me have laughed me to scorn. They have spoken with my lips. They've wagged their head. He hoped in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him save him. See any delight in him? Come down off that cross, wise guy, you know? Yeah, so.
You're ahead of
all. Okay. So that was the thing, that was just something I put up there to show you people how I handle that and how you guys can handle it, which you were doing anyway. But you've got to look at it from different perspectives. And then sometimes if I don't find anything, it's really what it's like what I just said. I was going to put, he who had no sin was made sin for us. Well, some people, because he who had no sin was made a victim for sin for us. Yeah. But you can't put that in here because it's not in there. I haven't found it in any. I looked at the Syriac. Mm-hmm. I looked all over the place. Then you look at the church fathers commented on it. And I'm not going to put something in there unless I have a precedent in which I can put it in there. Okay, so that ends that discussion. Any questions on that? Yeah.
General Patton in that movie, he told that one guy, he says, a little knowledge is worse than no knowledge at all.
Yeah. A little knowledge, yeah, but you don't have the complete picture. A little knowledge is worse than no knowledge. Yeah, because if you have a little knowledge and you don't have the whole picture, you can go crazy with it.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.